Mercy and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ,
I just don't get it.
What?
This week's Gospel and Old Testament reading.
Oh, the story about Gideon. God has him do all those crazy things.
Like what?
Well, he has him use seemingly random criteria to pare down his already undersized army of 32,000 down to just 300, and then attack a huge Midianite army using the remaining 1% with jars, torches, and trumpets.
Oh yeah, and then they like rout the enemies.
And God spoke to Gideon, but how?
Well, if God were to speak to me, he'd probably use Facebook. Or a cell phone.
Right.
And what about the New Testament reading, when Jesus calms the storm because his disciples were afraid?
Did you ever wonder what it would be like to be one of Jesus' original disciples?
See you later, guys. I wonder, what would it be like to be one of Jesus' disciples? Or Gideon?
Today, we view two biblical events, separated by 1,100 years, but united by our timeless God. Welcome to the 12th century BC. We're at the Israelite base camp at the foot of Mount Gilboa, and across the valley is the Midianite camp. We begin over 1,000 years before Christ. One Israelite judge, named Gideon, was preparing his army for battle when he received a rather strange call on his cell phone from his supreme commander. Now, I know what you're thinking. Gideon took a call on his cell phone? Yeah, I thought it was funny too. But remember, texting hadn't been invented yet.
Yeah, this is Gideon. I just wasn't expecting a call. What's that? You say you've been going over my plans for the assault on the Midianites, and you have a few changes you need to make? Well, you're the boss, so go right ahead. I don't think I'm hearing you correctly, sir. You know, I think our connection must be cutting out. Those crazy Philistines just won't leave the cell towers alone. You say we have too many troops for the battle? Well, it's just, I thought that was a good thing, Lord. It's not. It's a bad idea. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we're outnumbered 4-1 already. You say you want me to ask who is afraid of battle and let them go home? Who is this, really?
Some 1,100 years later, we see the Son of the Living God, Jesus the Christ. He just finished preaching to a packed audience on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. Preaching from a boat, anchored off the shore, Jesus tells the parable of the mustard seed, and then announces a change of plans to his roadies, in those days known as disciples.
Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can nest in its shade. Okay, guys, do you understand this parable?
No.
Well, okay, I'll explain it later. We have to get to the other side of the lake. We better start going.
Little did the disciples know that their boat ride was about to turn into a 3-hour tour that would be a real source of fear for them. Meanwhile, back at the Israelite base camp with General Gideon.
Where to look, tell me what will I find? What will I find? Hello, Israelite Base Camp. Yeah, this is Gideon. I did just as you advised. I dismissed all the men who were fearful and trembling. But my commanders tell me we have a little problem. You see, we're down to 10,000 troops, but I can call them back if you want. Yeah, I understand that fear, apart from the fear of you, is the flip side of faith and should have no business in the lives of your people. And you say pride in ourselves rather than in you, and must have no part in our lives either. Lord, I just have one problem. Everyone thinks I'm nuts.
Fast forward to the disciples' boat ride with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, which is notorious for sudden, violent storms. Jesus falls asleep on a cushion in the stern, the only story in the Gospels where Jesus does. Meanwhile, a storm arose and became so violent that the boat, the SS Minnow, began to fill with water.
The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed.
So he takes us out on the water, falls asleep on a sinking boat, and lets us drown? This makes no sense.
Certainly, this isn't God's will.
We must wake him.
I'm not waking him. You heard what the narrator said. That man needs his sleep.
John, you wake him. You're the one he loves.
All you need is love, man.
Here, let's draw straws. Long one wakes the Lord.
Lord, wake up.
Lord, help us. We're perishing.
And just like that, Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea.
Peace.
And he rebuked the disciples with two questions, 9 words, that exposed their issues, the same issues God addressed some 1,100 years earlier with Gideon and his men, fear and faith.
Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?
Meanwhile, back at the Israelite base camp with General Gideon.
Tra-la-la!
Captain Underpants, how may I help you? No, seriously, that's what all my commanders are calling me now. Well, you see, Lord, per your request, I further reduced the size of our army based on their drinking manners. Yeah, we're down to 300 men, each equipped with torches, trumpets, and jars, just as you said.
Back at the Sea of Galilee, we pick up the thoughts of Jesus' followers.
Who then is this that even the sea and wind obey him?
He commands the wind.
He commands the sea.
He is a source of faith.
He drives out fear.
And concluding our story with Gideon.
Don't put it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine.
Israelite base camp, how may I direct you called? Oh, hello, Lord. Oh, the attack on the Midianites? We did just as you said. You gave them into our hands. We split into 3 parties, snuck up on the army, and then right at night, we broke the jars, and we blew the trumpets, and we held our torches high, and chanted in unison at the top of our lungs. Because of you, the Midianites panicked, turned on one another, and fled. I called out for reinforcements, and we pursued them. What's that? Yeah, victory your way. Not my will, but yours be done.
As Gideon and the disciples learned, God has a better plan. May thy will be done. Amen.
Two different events. Seemingly so different and yet so much the same. Separated by 1,100 years, you have the Old Testament account of Gideon, and you have the New Testament account of Jesus calming the storm. Peace. Silence. Be still. and know that I am God. In both of these accounts, the miraculous of God was demonstrated. In the Gideon account, God proved that he was in control. He fights the battle. In the disciple account, God proves that he is in control. He commands all of nature. In both of these accounts, you see the miracles of God. In both of these accounts, you also see the sanctified life. Life as believers in God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, Gideon was saved by God. The disciples were saved by God, and you are saved by God. Through the death and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are justified, declared innocent, not guilty. We are redeemed and bought back from the enemy, from sin, death, and the devil to belong to God. Gideon did nothing to be saved. The disciples did nothing to be saved. And we do nothing in order to be saved. It is done. It is all done for us. All done through the death and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the righteousness that is given unto us. In Jesus, we are righteous. It's passive righteousness. This is the gracious and the good will of God. Thy will be done. And just as Gideon was saved by God, and the disciples were saved by God, and we are saved by God, now saved by God, Gideon lived for God. The disciples lived for God, and we live for God. This is active righteousness, the sanctified life. It's active righteousness, and we must do something. And oh, something we do. St. Paul said, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Sins of omission, sins of commission, like our father Adam and our mother Eve, we rebel. That is the first R, rebel. Through sin, through our own sin, and through our idolatry, we rebel. And as a result, there is a retribution. That's the next R, retribution. Sin comes with consequences. And with sin, there are only two choices. With sin, there's only two things we can do. Either run away from God or run towards God. And we run towards God. We confess our sin. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquity. We run towards God, confessing our sins, and he completely forgives us. He rescues us. That's the next R, rescue. As rescued people of God, we then have rest. That's the final R, rest. This cycle of rebel, retribution, repentance, rescue, and rest, this cycle is not only the cycle seen in the book of Judges, but it's a cycle that is seen daily, weekly, monthly, yearly in our lives. In the sanctified life, we go through this cycle of rebelling, retribution, repentance, rescue, and rest over and over and over again. So continue to repent and turn towards God instead of running away from him. It's a life of repentance that we live And in the repentance, we know the rescue and the rest of God. You see, that is the will of God, to continually draw us unto Him in order to be saved through Him and to live according to Him. You see, that's the good and gracious will of God. This year we're focusing on these four words, "Thy will be done." What is the will of God? That you are saved continually to life everlasting. Amen. Now may the peace of God equip you with everything good that you may do His will through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.